Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary. We are back. This is the fourth year we have done this. I am joined by the greatest sandwich lover in the world. You will also know him as a phenomenal fantasy mind. We always talk through the wide receiver position, and this year is no different. I'm joined by Mike, or as you probably know him, at Daddy's Home FF. Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Rich? How we doing, buddy? Happy to be back for, it's been we've been at this for a while now. It's always fun.
Yeah, it's always great fun chopping things up. I think, as I said, I think this is year four. So I think feel like we've had some good success over the years. And let's hope we can do it again. But this year's wide receiver core looks absolutely phenomenal, quite frankly. Is there any, grand takeaways you have with this? Do you think this receiver room could potentially be as deep as we've probably ever seen?
Yeah, I mean, it's not only just deep, but we're finally back to big wide receivers. I feel like we've been projecting like these 5'8 to 5'10 guys and trying to figure out who's going to fit where. And this year we have those prototype wide receivers that fit in any offense that can be slotted on the outside, can play the big slot. Like, I'm not as nervous to do pre-draft rankings as I have been in the previous 3 years where, let's be honest, we had some guys that, depending on landing spot, had a wide range of outcomes. This year, I feel really confident that these particular sets of wide receivers fit with old school coaches, new school offensive minds. They're just those prototypes we've been looking for the past couple of years, and I think they're going to absolutely take off. This is a year to have late seconds and early thirds. They're going to pay out like what have been late first and early seconds in previous years.
No, I absolutely love that. We're going to start at the top, though. Now, it feels like we get to this point in draft, and there seems to be always one prospect every year that is overhyped and everybody's focusing all their attention on. This year, it is absolutely Marvin Harrison Jr. We're looking at 6'4", 205, out of Ohio State, obviously got those NFL bloodlines, had a phenomenal last 2 years. Do you think the hype is warranted, or do you think that perhaps we're putting the hype for the course and maybe overhyping him a little bit?
No, the hype's warranted for Marvin Harrison. I mean, we can talk about so many different things about his athletic ability or however you want to talk about it, but what this man has is otherworldly body control. I don't know that we've seen somebody with this type of body control in years. So not only does he have amazing route running, not only is he polished, not only is he ready for the NFL, I mean, he just has everything you're looking for from a player. But then on top of that, if he doesn't happen to get open all the way, have that separation we've seen from him in a lot of plays, or the throw is a little behind him, a lot of back shoulder throws, whatever it might be, that's where he shines. No more than if you look at when he took his inside foot against Indiana and tapped down on what has to be arguably the greatest college catch I've ever seen in my life. I mean, what this guy can do with bad throws, which there were a fair amount of them coming out of the Ohio State quarterback, is amazing. So what you get from Marvin Harrison is not only the route running, not only the separation, not only the leverage, not only the prototypical size, but then a man 6'4 that can contort his body in the way that he does. He is going to be unstoppable at the NFL level. He's the guy we've been hoping to have come out for years now, and a person that realistically, he is already for me in that God tier of dynasty wide receivers with Chase, Jefferson, and Lamb. That's how confident I am that Marvin Harrison explodes regardless of where he lands.
Yeah, I think for me, I don't watch a huge amount of college football. I dive in once we get to January of the draft, and I watch as much as I can of all of these prospects. Whenever there's a player that gets hyped, the kind of, I guess, contrarian in me is always sort of looking to go, okay, Marvin Harrison's supposed to be the next coming. Let's plug on the tape and, you know, maybe people are just overhyping him. I don't think they are. I think prototypical size, I think he is a phenomenal route technician, given, you know, there's not many 6'4 guys that can move the way he does. It is phenomenal. Amazing hands, amazing going away from his body to make difficult grabs. I think contested catches, you know, you talked about the body control. He's got an amazing ability to contort his body and make those grabs that are difficult look very routine. My slight knock is I don't know if he is a elite athlete. I think he is still a very good NFL athlete. I just don't think he's a guy that's going to win with raw speed or raw agility. But there's not many guys built the way he is that do that. And I think that he's a good enough all-round receiver that he doesn't need that elite athleticism to win. I think he wins in a range of different ways. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think he's, you know, it's not often we can get elite quarterbacks coming out of a draft and we're already talking about a wide receiver whether he should be taken in around them. I think he's absolutely in the conversation for the 101 and should easily be the first non-quarterback drafted in this year's draft. You talked about him being in that God tier. So for you, he's a top four dynasty wide receiver before he's even stepped on the football field?
Yeah, I have him right now teetering between four and five. Realistically, be looking for a one-to-one value comp, it would be Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's at that level for me. Probably have him slightly above A.J. Brown if I was looking at ranking him today. That's how confident I am in this player and in what he's going to do in the NFL. I think those guys are both outstanding wide receivers, so I don't want people thinking year one. If this was redraft, that's where I'm putting him. But I think out of those three that we just named, Marvin Harrison Jr. has the largest amount of potential to become the wide receiver one in Dynasty. So that real difference maker, that guy who can land you the major trade package if you're rebuilding, or the guy who can anchor your team like a Justin Jefferson has for the past few years now, that's Marvin Harrison. So that's where I have ranked in my Dynasty ranks right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty much right there. I would have Amon-Ra St. Brown ahead of him. But that's almost purely just because I'm a little bit more, I want to see it. I know that Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be a, you know, a top type five wide receiver, but it's pretty much neck and neck between him and Marvin Harrison. So yeah, I could definitely flip it and have them rank the other way. The next wide receiver we're going to talk about though is a guy that I personally think is in the conversation with Marvin Harrison. I think he is a 1B to Marvin Harrison's 1A, but I think in any other normal year, this guy would be getting up to an elite degree. And of course, I'm talking about Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU. 6 foot, 200 pounds. One of the smoothest players with phenomenal ability after the catch. Are you a believer that he is a little bit smaller than some of the other guys in this class? Do you think that despite that slightly smaller frame, he can still produce elite numbers for fantasy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with Malik Nabers, when you look at the player he is, I almost wonder if he's like a geometry major in college, the way that he figures out angles. Like, he creates leverage on every play. He is dictating what is going to happen on the play, not only during the route running, but also in the open field. So what you see from Nabers is a guy who's not, almost similar, weirdly enough, and this is going to be an odd comp, but try to go with me for a second, almost similar to Lamar Jackson. As a guy who never gets hit square, it seems like everyone's always talking about Lamar. Why doesn't he get injured? Because he never gets stood up and just pancaked. And that's Malik Nabers. Like, he seems to create leverage and has the game almost slowed down to a level where he's dictating not only his own movement, but the movement of the defenders at the same time. It's absolutely uncanny to watch what this guy does on a football field. So yeah, he's another guy who automatically slots in into that top 10 dynasty leverage. And we're going to drop off considerably after Malik Nabers. I know there's going to be a lot of talk about the next guy and we'll get to him in a moment, but there is no third option in this tier. There is Nabers and Harrison and nobody else. And honestly, even the people that I see having Nabers ahead of Harrison, I don't hate it. I just think Nabers is so close. I am not going to gamble quite as high on Nabers like we just talked about. He would be a tick below AJ Brown for me and in that next level of wide receivers, but still firmly in the top 10. This guy is every bit of the player that you want to see. And I can't wait to see him at the next level and especially see where he lands, because I want to see all sorts of usage from Malik Nabers. He is just dangerous touching the football, whether it's route running or not. Just love watching him play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at my rookie model, the numbers, Marvin Harrison's a 97th percentile prospect. Malik Nabers is a 96.5 percentile prospect. So he's literally right there neck and neck. As I said, to me, it's a 1A and a 1B. I really love Malik Yabes. He's so much fun to watch. I get what you're saying about the Lamar Jackson comp in terms of he's got that real subtle agility where he gets defenders off balance so that he's not taking the hit. He leaves his feet into the challenge so that he can absorb the hit rather than take the full whack. So I completely get that. Where I'm fascinated is how he's going to get used in the NFL, because he is a player that you could line up and say, right, he's Aussie. He's going to line up off the line of scrimmage outside. He's going to run a complete route tree, and he's probably going to be a really great receiver doing that. But where Malik Nabers could be, you know, incredible is you can use him in inventive ways. I think if you can use him in the screen game, in the, you know, maybe out of the backfield on jet sweeps, get the ball in his hands and use that phenomenal yak ability. But also he can run a full route tree. He's not just a gadget player. He's like a true Z receiver with gadget traits. And I think that if you get a really inventive offensive play caller, if you get someone that's going to say, actually, let's force feed this guy the ball. Let's, rather than giving him, you know, seven touches, let's give him seven targets and we'll get him three touches on screens and out of the backfield or on jet sweeps. Almost very different players, but almost the way Chris Godwin was used in the Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich days, where he was getting sort of 3.5-4 manufactured touches a game. If you can get that usage for Malik Nabers, he could be phenomenal, because I don't remember seeing a guy that's this good of a route runner and this good with the ball in his hands. And it's like, if you've got a player that can get open for fun and then he's dynamite with the ball in his hands, we know that he's going to be a fantastic receiver, because I think he could slot into basically any NFL offense, quite frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you're hoping for Malik Nabers is basically that Zay Flowers usage, and he's just a much better player than Zay ever was.
Yeah, absolutely. Zay plus plus. The third guy in this class. Now, I've seen some people talk him up to be in that tier with the top two. I've seen some people suggest that he's, you know, very firmly in a second tier. Bigger bodied wide receiver out of Washington, Roma Dunze, 6'3", 215 pounds. Unlike Harrison and Nabers, he was a four-year player. Obviously, Washington had that weird freshman year where they didn't really play because of COVID and that side of things. Do you think Roma Dunze has the potential to be the wide receiver one in this class in 3 years' time, or do you think he is a tier below the other two?
He's not even my wide receiver three. So let's talk about the good first, so I don't get killed by your listeners. He does get open. He is seemingly always open. If you take a look at him, he has an uncanny ability to find holes and zones. He can beat people in man. Like you said, he has that big body. Really solid route runner, tracks the ball well, very good hands. Now, where I get in trouble watching Adunze is he has a Mike Gesicki-esque ability to never break tackles. For someone his size, he goes down very easily. I told somebody earlier today, it's almost like he's making Tyler Lockett-type business decisions on every play. So what I like about him is he said he does have that yak ability to create space. But what he's not doing, and where I see people trying to make those Terrell Owens or Mike Evans comps, he doesn't play tough like that. He doesn't play with that bulldozer type mentality. So while the body shows that he should, I don't see that from Rome. I don't see him stepping up. Now, I hope he does. And if he does, this is going to look silly. But for me, I actually have him as the wide receiver four, because I just think he has limited potential in the NFL, where I don't think it's going to be as easy for him to get that open. I don't think he's going to see that much space. We talk about how the game kind of condenses in the NFL, and you have to work in smaller spaces, make those moves in phone booths and break tackles because guys are going to be on you. I didn't see that ability from him. A lot of his scores, a lot of his big plays were in space, where when he had room to maneuver, and the NFL really condenses that. So I'm a little worried about Adunze, and I think that the hype is getting too much, where I'm probably not going to have him rostered in very many leagues, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I've toyed with him being my three and my four. I've sort of gone back between him and a couple of other receivers that we'll probably get to later. there's a lot that I like. I get that he's a smooth route runner, and I keep hearing and keep reading about how he's an elite route runner at his size, and not many guys move how he does. And I don't really buy it. I don't see elite separation skills. I think he's a competent route runner, but he's a guy that almost needs to slightly be schemed open, can run good routes, can be a good player, but needs more around him than just purely winning one-on-ones. And I think that, you know, the fact that he is a four-year player, the fact that he didn't produce huge numbers straight out of the bat does knock him slightly for me. You know, I am always going to lean back on my numbers slightly, and he's a 55th percentile receiving yards per team pass attempt player. You compare that to Neighbors, who's 90th percentile, Marvin Harrison, who's 85th percentile. Like, he is just a knock below those guys. I think that for me, he's very good, but not truly elite. I think my rookie model has him as a 90th percentile player, and I think that shows for me he's just a tier below those top two, and I don't really buy into this hype that he deserves to be in a tier amongst those two guys.
Well, I'm happy because I thought we were going to have a big argument on this one, so that makes it a little easier.
No, that's beautiful. The next guy we're going to talk about. Now, I'm very intrigued because I feel like we could disagree quite greatly on this. Having done this for 3 years, I know that we potentially have types. Brian Thomas, big bodied, 6'4", 205, fantastic top end speed, fantastic tracking ability to win those contested catches downfield. Are you a fan, Mike, or have you got some concerns?
No, I'm a fan. I actually, Brian Thomas is my number three. There's a lot of things that I like about Brian Thomas. I mean, you talk about, obviously, the speed jumps out at 6'4", 205. You know, him running a 4.3, I believe 4.33, if I'm not mistaken. He's beating people over the top with relative ease. When you look at those 17 touchdowns, what were like 12 of them over 40 yards? It was crazy. Things that jump out on Brian Thomas's film. Number one, first and foremost, and don't get it twisted, is the number two quarterback in this draft throws such a beautiful deep ball, doesn't he? Jaden Daniels' deep ball is absolutely amazing. And Brian Thomas took advantage of that. But what I also saw from him is someone who does a good job utilizing his speed. He is not Jalen Hyatt. He has much more talent than Hyatt does, and has that, while not perfect route running, has that ability to get people off balance to allow him to use that speed. And also to do what he did while not even being the top player on his team, you have to wonder, without somebody overshadowing him like Neighbors, how much more productive could he be? Now, granted, it's a one-year thing with Thomas. I know that's going to be a concern of yours. You like people that come out of the gate and crushing it and doing what they do. But man, I mean, that is elite speed. That is unbelievable ability to get to where he has to get to, and an uncanny ability to track those kind of balloon balls that Daniels throws. Like, he put his body right where it has to be, shields the defender well, make sure he takes care of the space that he creates with his speed. So while he may not be that high volume PPR monster that you're looking for, that DeSean Jackson type productivity, I really think fits with Brian Thomas. And it'd be frustrating at times, as we know with those types of players. Like, you'll have some off weeks, but man, he's going to win you some games on his own.
Yeah, I kind of thought we were going to disagree on Brian Thomas, and yeah, perhaps I'm not so surprised. I think that, look, what he does well, he is elite at. He is a phenomenal deep threat. He has got amazing speed. I think he can step in the NFL as one of the best kind of X deep shot receivers. I think he can be Gabe Davis plus from week one in the NFL. The issue I have is that I don't know if he can run a complete route tree. I don't know if he has the short area quickness and the foot speed to win versus man coverage on any kind of underneath routes. I think he is a little bit of a long strider, which means that when he is trying to, you know, make cuts in and out of breaks, he has to almost slow his feet, and it becomes a bit of a tell to corners. And I think that because of that, I do worry that he could end up being a one-trick pony. But The biggest concern for me is, yes, he did share an offense with Malik Nabers, but he never cleared 20% targets per route run. And I think that that is a huge concern for me. I want a guy, if I'm going to spend probably a mid to late first round pick in a Superflex rookie draft, I want to know this is a guy that can command consistent volume. I don't know if Brian Thomas is going to be that. I think he could potentially be phenomenal in a sort of a best ball or dynasty best ball, because as you said, he's the kind of player that can have those DeSean Jackson weeks where he takes, you know, four targets, three catches, 120 yards and two touchdowns, like completely blow up weeks. But he could also have weeks where it's four targets, one catch for 10 yards and no touchdowns, and he's kind of burnt you. So Brian Thomas, there's absolutely talent there. He's still going to be a top five wide receiver for me. And I think, as I said, he's going to step into the NFL with a clearly defined role. My concern is that I think he could potentially be a real headache for fantasy, because I don't know if he's going to get that dependable volume to be comfortable ticking his name every single week. And I feel like it could be a bit of a headache of, is this going to be a week Brian Thomas goes off, or is this going to be a week where he kind of burns you and does nothing whilst sat in your flex spot?
I mean, it could be, right? But I think one of the things, and you referenced it pretty clearly with the Doomsday earlier, is that there are certain schemes that people use to get players open. And if you add, for example, just a couple bubble screens to Brian Thomas each game, he's more productive than what we're seeing right now, which is 1,100 yards and 17 touchdowns, right? You look at just some of what Nabers was taken. If you put him on Washington and use him the way they used Odunze, plus the over-the-top skills, I think you'd be able to see really what is he. So I'm not going to disagree with you, but I'm not firm that he's not that guy. It's a question mark. So if you're telling me that my floor is one of the top deep threats in the NFL, with a ceiling of if he can add on some of those intermediate routes, or even just, like I said, those behind the line of scrimmage, get him in space with a couple blockers and let that speed pick up 15 yards on its own, that changes the entire outcome of what his potential ceiling is. So I'm maybe looking at it and projecting some optimism because of what he wasn't getting compared to the schemes that a lot of these other guys that we're talking about today did get, where they were the only person in that offense that had NFL level talent. That's where I'm giving Thomas a little bit of a pass and hoping that, and we'll see this from what he gets for draft capital. If he gets high draft capital, you have to think they're going to get him the ball in a multitude of different ways. And if they do, that world-class speed, whether it's on an end-around or bubble screen, I think will show itself for an extra 20 to 30 yards a game that maybe we're not expecting right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's probably a little bit of a flavor of how do you play fantasy. You know, we've seen through history, there's these type of receivers that put up really good fantasy seasons, you know, whether it be someone like Martavis Bryant or DeSean Jackson or stuff like that. You know, they finish the season as a top 24 wide receiver and stuff like that. It's just how they get you there, isn't it? Do you want a guy that's going to score you 10 points every week, but his ceiling is 15 points? Or do you want a guy that's going to average 10 points a week, but could be 5 or could be 25? And it's, I guess for me, I'd rather the consistency, but I know certain people are going to chase that upside. And I think, as I said, there's definitely a world where Brian Thomas could be a superstar and he's got that in his range of outcomes. I just need to see a little bit more before I guess I'm getting too excited and I'm on board.
That's fair. We'll talk next year when the price has doubled and whether or not you got in time, we'll go from there.
We're talking about another tall, deep threat wide receiver, Troy Franklin, out of Oregon. He's 6'3", very skinny at 187 pounds. A true, you know, target monster, deep threat, did everything in this Oregon offense. But as I did say, he is incredibly skinny. Are they concerns that you've got moving forwards, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that what was it on his pro day that he finally got up to that 185, 187 range. I think he came in the combine even lighter, if I'm not mistaken. I believe like 175, which is wild. And obviously that changes his 40 time as well. So he went to the combine looking for speed. But yeah, thin and fast and can get open. But as you mentioned in the slide here, he has to. And that's what scares me about Troy Franklin, is that if he's not a contested guy, a contested catch guy, the NFL has some problems here. So this is where he's a significant tier below Brian Thomas for me, in the sense that he's not elite and doesn't have the frame that Thomas has. He's a tick below, but plays a similar game. Great route running, is quick, but what's his ceiling? I mean, when we talk about it in reality, he's not a wide receiver one on a good NFL offense, in my opinion. He's tracking towards a wide receiver two at best, and I think a hit or miss one. I love what he did in college, but obviously we've seen Oregon is a big pass offense. They put up numbers. He obviously took advantage of that. But yeah, this is a guy realistically for me that I'm going to shy a little bit away from, because when we look at, and I know we've been talking about these skinny guys, Tank Dell last year, Devonta Smith before that, Troy Franklin isn't in that class for me of route running. While he's good, Devonta Smith is one of the best we've ever seen in covering the series, like we talked about, we've done in the past 4 years. And Tank Dell is just a freak who then also got the luxury of landing with CJ Stroud, right? Like, there was a lot that went well for Tank, who outstanding route runner, I think, in a different tier than Troy Franklin. So I like him, don't love him. This is a guy I'm far more comfortable with in the second round, but I don't think I'm spending a first round on Troy Franklin. This is where I start looking at maybe the RB1 in this class if they land with, say, the Chargers or the Cowboys, for example. This is about that time where I'm saying, hey, maybe we want to look at that RB1. Obviously, after Neighbors, that's where I'm starting to look at Brock Bowers. So we're starting to get to that point where it's not just wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. And this is that drop-off point where I like Franklin, but I could see myself going for a year one running back that I think is going to cash in quickly, and then being able to trade him for someone like Franklin plus for the second year.
Yeah, I think that whilst Franklin and Brian Thomas probably ran similar routes in college, I think they did it in different ways. You know, Brian Thomas is a deep threat that can get run past defenders, but can also catch the ball over defenders and win at the catch point. Troy Franklin is a guy that needed to be open in order to kind of bring the ball in. And you see that as a slight negative. I guess I probably see that as a slight positive, because I think he is a better route runner than Brian Thomas. I think he can run a more diverse route tree. I don't think we're going to see him run a huge amount of, we're going to see him running slants. We're not going to see him running really complex routes. But I think if we can have him on shallow crosses, if you can have him on digs, posts, nine routes, I think he's the kind of guy that has got the speed and the ability and the quickness to get away from defenders. Now, where I think Brian Thomas can walk into 32 teams in the NFL and have a role immediately, I don't think that's the case with Troy Franklin, because I think that he is going to be a little bit more scheme specific, because not every team will have the offense that has a role for a Troy Franklin. However, I think that the ceiling for Troy Franklin is a little bit higher, because I think he's got that more diverse route tree. I think he can command a higher target share, and I think he can do a little bit more than just be that one trick pony who goes deep. So yeah, I've got real concerns about Troy Franklin. He's in the same tier with me, with Brian Thomas, with Rome Odunze, and a guy that we're not going to talk about today, but I think that there's a little bit more I want to see, and it will depend more on where he lands as to whether he could potentially be my wide receiver 4, or he could end up being my wide receiver 6 based on that landing spot, which is not something I typically say with wide receivers, because normally I'm the person that says landing spot doesn't matter. But I think Troy Franklin, because of the type of receiver he is, I think he needs to be in the right offense that's going to use him the right ways. If you just stick him outside and say, right, he's my X, he's going to run, beat press coverage and try and run those downfield routes, I think he's going to struggle, because unless he's suddenly going to whack on a load of frame, unless he's going to develop a whole new release package and be able to win contested catches, I think he's going to struggle in that sort of role. So, yeah, I like Troy Franklin. There's definitely bits I like, but it's landing spot dependent, and there is an element of projection definitely for him to the next level that we don't see with some other guys in this sort of tier. The final wide receiver we are going to talk about today, though, Mike, Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State, another big-bodied guy, 6'4", 215 pounds. Had some interesting production, didn't really get the elite production of the other five guys we talked about, but solid, reliable, ran a fairly slow 40 at the combine, but then had the fastest time at the gauntlet, which I think has been overhyped and over-talked about incredibly. Phenomenal hands, but some real concerns about his route running and basic footwork, quite frankly. Are you a believer in Keon Coleman's talent, or do you think there's too much projection to basically spend the capital that you're going to draft him?
Yeah, no, he's, to me, when I look at his range of outcomes, it goes between Mike Williams and N'Keal Harry. He doesn't get open. That should be an issue for a wide receiver. That's kind of the role. And Keon Coleman doesn't get open. He relies on 50-50 balls. He relies on those hands that you talk about that are great. But how many targets is he going to get if he's constantly covered? I mean, what are we going to be doing with this guy? So your best bet is that you get that Mike Williams, throw it up to him and have him go get it that Justin Herbert did for a while. But he's never going to get the target share that Keenan Allen did in that offense, right? What's the worst possible scenario for him is he lands somewhere like N'Keal Harry did with the Patriots, which is a timing offense, and that's not the game he plays. And he gets no targets and gets buried. So there's a real possibility that Keon Coleman, to me, falls off the face of the earth and just doesn't get it done. And I don't think that's any fault of his own. There's freak athleticism here. Like, you see him doing things like hurdling players and stuff. That's just wild. But he needs that trust. If you're going to be a person who's relying on your quarterback knowing you can go and get it, that takes a certain type of offense and a certain type of QB. So landing spot is so important with Keon Coleman, and coaching and patience to get him to be really what should be a more polished wide receiver than I see from him in terms of the route running. Like you said, the footwork, the dynamics that get a person open, I don't see a ton from him. He runs the route that is outlined at the speed he runs it in, and then hopes the quarterback just puts the ball on him so we can go get it. Cornerbacks don't look fooled. They don't look off balance. They look like they're just tracking, and then all 6'4", 215 of them goes and gets the ball. But he's not spinning people around. He's not torching anybody that I've seen on any of the plays that I've watched from him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that he's a really good athlete, and I think he understands what he's supposed to do, but he has no plan of how he's going to get there. I think he doesn't set up defenders. I don't see him very often stemming or stacking defenders. I see far too often him having really poor fundamental footwork where he's trying to cut off the wrong foot and therefore he's having to take an extra step, which, yeah, he's a good athlete. He's quick. But because he's taking extra steps, it gives the defenders time to adjust and they close quickly. And that's why he's having to make contested catches. That's why we're having to see him make these highlight grabs and utilize his fantastic hands, which he does have phenomenal hands. But that's because he can't get open. And I have real concerns about that projection to the next level. I think he's the kind of player that I can see a world where he pans out. I can see a world where the talent is there, and with some good coaching and working on his, you know, basic technique and footwork, he could turn into a good NFL wide receiver. But I'm quite happy that somebody, that projection, that kind of training and transition happening on somebody else's dynasty roster. Quite frankly, at the price where he's going, there are, you know, I would rather Troy Franklin, I would rather Brian Thomas, I would rather Xavier Worthy or indeed the RB1 or somebody like that. Those are the kind of guys that I'm looking at rather than Keon Coleman, because he's the exact kind of guy that, for me, I don't particularly like, because I think he's big bodied wide receiver that we're projecting. He isn't a good route runner and he doesn't have the fundamental production through college to back up the price that we're having to pay. So yeah, I can see why somebody would like him, but for me, I just don't like him. I think there's too many negatives and too much projection for the cost, quite frankly, you've got to go and pay there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's one of the guys that I'm going to watch closely. I don't see him popping year one. I just don't see a scenario where that happens. But if we start to see growth and maturity, you know, if you're watching some of the, you know, the micro stats as opposed to the macro overall stats that most league mates will fall into, and you start seeing him get a little more open, you start seeing him towards the tail end of the first year starting to show some promise, you'll be able to get him at a significant discount, because this is a guy I think struggles out of the gate, and like you said, is going to need some time. But if I start seeing someone unlock his freakish athleticism, I'd be buying back in. I don't see the patience of NFL coaches being there for the work that he'll need. But I hope he does. I hope this is one of those stories that we love, that kid puts in the work and reaches his absolute ceiling. But from what I see right now, yeah, it's Mike Williams at best, and I'm good with other people having players like that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, before we go on to hear about Mike's rankings, how he views them, if you are here, make sure you're hitting that subscribe button. You made it half an hour into the show. Hit the subscribe. We've got plenty more wide receivers, running backs, and tight end positional previews to come. So, Mike, we come to the point that everybody wants to hear. How do you kind of tier these elite wide receivers? How do you view the wide receiver breakdown in this kind of pre-draft process?
Yeah, so I said we have the real elite tier. That is Harrison and Neighbors both. I just don't see them being far enough apart that I'm going to create a single tier for Harrison. So when we take a look at it, and I think people always like to hear logistics of it, I have the 102 in a one quarterback league, and I wouldn't give up much more than a late second to move up. And the only reason I would do that is because of the name recognition of Marvin Harrison. Realistically, if you're looking at talent alone, only about a third separates these two. That's how close they are. So that's your tier number one. Tier number two is going to start with Brian Thomas, like I talked about. We are going to have Rome Odunze at the bottom of that tier. We're going to cut right there. And like you said, when you look at the Troy Franklin tier, I actually have a couple other wide receivers that we didn't discuss before we get to Keon Coleman. I mean, that's really where we're at. We gave you during the show some of the players outside of wide receivers that would slot in, with Brock Bowers coming in above Rome Odunze for me and above Brian Thomas slightly, and then getting into that after Odunze, looking at the running back one, whether that be Trey Benson or if Blake Corum lands with the Chargers, possibly he jumps in there, but I do think it will be Benson. That's where we start breaking these guys down. But there's a clear top tier here. These top two are so far ahead of the pack. I think people are just getting a little fatigued about talking to them. So they're trying to find a third in there. There's just not.
Yeah, I completely agree. I pretty much have it very similar to you. So Harrison and Neighbors are the elite two, and I think they are neck and neck. And there's a big drop to the next tier. In the next tier, I've got four players. So I've got Rome Odunze. I've got another wide receiver as my wide receiver four that I won't reveal now, but stick around for next week's wide receiver positional preview, and we'll cover him a little bit more. And then I've got Troy Franklin and Brian Thomas. And then in that sort of third tier is Keon Coleman, along with the rest of the guys that we'll be talking about next week. But if you are here, Mike, if people are watching, remind them, where can they find you? Where can they find your work?
Easy enough. You can find me at Daddy's Home FF on the Twitter or the X Machine, whatever you call it. Now you can find all my off-season content at Dynasty League Football. We just did Monday mocks. We also coming out with some strategy articles. And then during the season, you can find me at JWB Football, where you will get my weekly dumpster dives. That is players outside of the top 20 who will finish inside of the top 12. So your weekly winners that no one sees coming.
Beautiful. Well, thank you ever so much, Mike. You do this every year, and it's always one of my favorite shows to do. If you haven't followed him, go and give him a follow, because he's a fantastic follower on Twitter. And that's it. As I said, we'll be back next week with some more wide receivers. We have also got tight ends, running backs, and of course, that all-important sleeper show coming up. So hit the subscribe, stick it here, and we will help you win those rookie drafts.